Hey everybody, it's Non-Productive, and we're here today to talk about, guess what, Captain Marvel. I'm Jordy. Wow, I can't believe they let me introduce this.
Yeah.
That is Frank, who just heard, and that's Al, but you can't see him. And of course, we've got Michelle.
I love this. Let me explain this more. Go on. I'm sorry. I didn't want to hear
you. And that's Michelle, also can't be seen, and Pete's here too, but I'm not going to point at him.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we can see it anyway.
You can see Pete if you try really hard. Wish.
If you believe, you can see Pete. So today, we're recovering Captain Marvel, which is a super huge, important film. I mean, we already had DC's Wonder Woman, and we just had the amazing Alita Battle Angel, but we haven't had our standalone female protagonist Marvel movie until now. And of course, we have a lot to say about it. I'm excited because when I saw it, I went in knowing that it was the first time I could actually see a female character just take it away with the standard Marvel formula. And I think that what they did was they took that formula and they did it pretty successfully. I'd say it stands its ground with the other round one Marvel movies.
Yeah, I've heard that. A lot of people have said that. I don't even remember the first time I heard that review, but it's like solid phase one Marvel movie. And I was like, I never even thought of that concept before, but yeah, it makes sense. That kind of initial, this is a character, it's going to start something.
Oddly enough, that was a lot of people's thoughts when Doctor Strange came out, or at least when I heard Doctor Strange coming out, and people's opinions of that film were kind of like, it was pretty solid phase one Marvel film. Like, all right, I guess I'll watch it and come my own opinion about it. But like, I guess that isn't inaccurate.
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of label as a genre or like a style. Like, it's a phase one. Interesting.
Yeah. I think when we think about the phase one Marvel movie, we're on an understanding that even if it isn't a straight origin story, it's going to be more or less an origin story. We're going to have to learn a lot about the characters, establish a lot of things that we maybe a lot of fans of comics are going to know. So it might be like, okay, I'm tired of seeing Uncle Ben die. But
yes, absolutely.
Twice was too much.
Yeah.
Think how Peter feels.
Aww. Which one?
That is actually very interesting that Spider-Man never gets a Phase 1 Marvel movie.
Neither did Black Panther.
That's weird. Yeah, that's kind of like almost a different animal entirely. But yeah, I get, yeah, well, all right. I did not contribute anything with all my sudden realization noises in this podcast.
I think it's really important going in. I was thinking about the movie as a standalone movie, and I think any disappointments I had were over the moment I realized, oh, this is because this is a phase one Marvel movie. This is standard phase one Marvel movie where you're learning a lot about characters and they have to make you enjoy a character and they have to make you understand and introduce all of the backstory characters. Especially, I compare this to Captain America because obviously I think they were trying to relate the two.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Stream and, you know, weave them together. And I definitely felt a lot of the moments of, okay, so this character, Carol, has an interesting backstory, and she starts off from this mysterious planet of Kree. But anyone who knows anything about Captain Marvel knows that that's not right. Something is off here. And I don't know, did any of you know about the Kree plotline before?
Well, first of all, are we doing, let's do this full spoiler, right?
Yes.
Because we're going to go into this movie, right?
I definitely think so.
I definitely knew about Captain Marvel's backstory. I was never a huge fan of the comics, I'll be honest. I think I talked about this on like a different on Near Mint for Non-Productive. Mm-hmm. I was a very weird kid where like I wouldn't read comics that had the name of the company in it. I was like, Captain Marvel, that's a little too on the nose Marvel comics.
But it's Marvel.
Yeah, so I refused to read Captain Marvel. I was like, come on, what? And I wasn't a big space opera person. In fact, I didn't want to see Guardians because I was like, I can't follow any of this garbage. But I over the years I've learned it from being a geek, and I think they took some interesting liberties with the story. I wouldn't quite say that they were completely alienated, but there is a little bit of like a disassociation from the beginning when it's not the character you expect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you on that, Frank. Absolutely. Just it is very different. I think it needs to be divorced because unfortunately Carol Danvers has had such a long history that at some point it becomes a little too convoluted, and she doesn't have the solid backstory that unfortunately a lot of the other Marvel characters have had. Actually, they did the same thing with Thor, actually, because Thor's backstory is really awkward and weird when you get into it. Because is he a guy who found the hammer? Is he actually Thor himself?
Is he, what's his name, that guy with the cane?
Donald Blake.
Donald Blake.
Is he Donald Blake?
You remember how they do it in Thor? So for those of you who know, the Thor was like Donald Blake at some point. Like there was he had a magical counter half in the early comics, but like in the movie, they just need to make a fake ID for him, I think, right? At some point?
Yeah, they give him Natalie Portman gives him, I'm sorry, Jane Foster, gives him her ex-boyfriend's ID.
Oh, yeah, and it's Don Blake, and that's it. That's the only hat tip to the original origins.
Yeah, but unfortunately she doesn't have the Captain America backstory or something else that's kind of easily condensed into, like, that isn't condensed in like a single sentence or two. So I like what they did do. It's like, yeah, she's Kree-ish, or like, but the explosion that gives her powers isn't, you know, all tied back into Captain Marvel from, but he's still there, or she's still there, oddly enough, to be a part of that origin story.
I found it very surprising as a comic book fan who's been reading the comic books lately to see this is probably the first instance I can remember where they went in and did a full retcon of the character's origin right before the movie came out and moved it further away from the movie counterpart.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Because in the comics, as we explained in the near mint preview for Captain Marvel,
available to Patreon subscribers. Sorry.
They retconned it so that Carol's mother was actually a Kree warrior princess. And so she had the powers all along, and the explosion just jump started them.
Can I say one thing before we throw back to the movie as opposed to the comics? And I think this is a good transition thing. I'm going to disagree with Al. So Al said that they kind of had to change her origin to make it easier for the story. I don't think they did it just because to streamline it, that Captain Marvel's history is so long and convoluted. I think they did something even bolder, and which is a point to Jordy's introduction to this. What they did is they pulled out certain things from the story and replaced it with something else that I know people are going to be... I think they made it a stronger message movie in those scenes, in those decisions they made. But yeah, the obvious thing is making Captain Marvel, or making Marvel into a female character. Sure, that's pretty basic. But more importantly, in the comics, Carol gets hit by a ray by accident and accidentally gains superpowers, which, you know, not really sexist. That's the way a lot of these characters, that's the way the Hulk got his powers, that's the way Spider-Man got his powers, whatever. In this, she gets powers through the explosion of the core, that is, in fact, you know, the Infinity Gem, the MacGuffin, but it's really the gaslighting, the fact that the people who are supposed to train her, give her abilities, have been like manipulating her into telling her, repress this, repress this, repress this. That's what makes her, that's her super, that's her tipping point. And I think that's much cooler than the, I got bitten by a radioactive laser ray that hit Marvel, you know, which is effectively the original origin.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that there's definitely a lot to be said in that direction. For me, what I felt like was super important is choice. A lot of the Marvel superheroes have a choice, a time when they make a choice, and that gives them their powers. Captain America chose to do what he did. Thor chose to actually fight to become what he is. A lot of these characters chose to fight against things. And Carol really, in this movie, stood up to do that. A lot of the backstories that showed her like standing up to like sexist ideas, like at the end of the day, that isn't so much it being like, yeah, feminism, even though it is, it's more like saying she also chose, just like all the other Avengers did, to be a hero. She chose to shoot the core even though she thought it would kill her. She chose to do what it would take to be a hero. And that's why I think this origin story is actually pretty powerful.
Yeah. She's definitely a character who's motivated by like, I'm going to do this now. Yeah.
And I like that the choices were all framed as a, she was choosing to put an end to wars. She was a warrior that wanted to end wars.
Yeah, there was a lot of that in the film, and I kind of liked that, because this could have very easily, especially given the military backstory of the character, could have very easily become a very pro-military type of film. But throughout the entirety of it, there's a lot of, hey, you know, fighting is not the best option, like, you know, going through, like, and even... as we're going in the Skrull villain, quote unquote, kind of has very similar ideals of like, listen, this is done. I've done horrible things, but at the end of the day, we just want to stop fighting.
Yeah, my number one fear of this movie was it was going to be like an Air Force commercial, like some movies are, which, I mean, I don't need the military to be villains. I just want, you know, not a commercial. And this was, you know, standard, like, Marvel format of, like, mature ways of looking at. First time we got to see Skrulls in a movie at all, and the first time we got to see in a Marvel property Skrulls wholesale as being more than just a villainous race of shape-changing zealots, right? You've seen occasional heroic Skrulls before, but never, like, I guess because it's as their first introduction of, hey, these people are just on the other side of a war, and they don't want it anymore, this particular group.
Can I actually say, going back to the Skrull leader, or I guess the main character that we see it as a Skrull, God, I love that character.
Yeah.
Best line is like, why would I turn into a filing cabinet?
It's my favorite.
Venus flytrap.
Yeah. A lot of cool characters in this. He kind of wins away. I got to be honest. I liked my one complaint about the movie, which I'll frame into a character I like. I liked Jude Law's character. I really did like his relationship with them.
Oh, I'm going to agree with whatever you're saying. I know where you're going with this, I think.
One issue with the heel turn, which maybe we'll talk about a little bit broader in a minute, is like, I kind of would have liked to have seen her be supported by all the people who were supporting her in the beginning of the movie. When they just end up being bad, it felt disingenuous, especially because, like, I don't know anything about this battle between Kree and Skrull. You told me Kree are good, Skrull are bad, and then you also, movie, told me that, no, it's the opposite in this case. It's not that great. I don't really care. I wasn't a big...
We'll circle back to this. I got my own...
But I like Jude Law. I like him as... I also liked him as a bad guy at the end, though, to be perfectly honest. Getting blasted into the rock.
I just loved in general. I think most of the characters in this were just fantastic, especially the fact that I understand how anybody could just outright dislike this movie, because even if you didn't like Captain Marvel's origin story, you then got to see Nick Fury, the buddy cop movie.
That was my favorite movie that was in this movie.
I have to say, I was so upset about that because I know we're never going to get Fury and Coulson the movie.
Yeah, that was good, but I think Fury and Carol was really interesting. I really think they have a lot of fun dynamics.
I agree. They have great chemistry, but I want to take a pause for a second here. How great were the de-aging effects on Samuel Jackson?
Yeah, they were amazing.
I couldn't tell. Like, at a certain point, I'm just like, did they just make him young? They found the Fountain of Youth, and that was...
It may have been, like, more cost-effective.
There's no way this is the same actor, but there's no way it's a different actor. I was very confused for the first, like... 20 minutes that he was on screen. Wow. I was like, what?
Impressive. Oh my God.
And it's going to be really creepy. Favorite character?
Oh, Goose. There's a reason.
Yeah. Well, no, that is the reason. Goose is the best.
Goose is fantastic.
We have a cat that looks like Goose. And his name is Hobbs, and he eats everything. Oh. So when we were watching the movie, it was like, oh, look, it's Hobbs.
That's an Easter egg just for you.
Yes, it was. I was laughing quite a bit.
I was impressed as heck that they kept strictly to the comics with Goose.
Really?
Yes.
Is Goose?
This is a Flerken.
Oh, really? I did not know.
Goose is a Flerken in the comics.
It's a different name, right? It's Chewie in the comics, right?
I don't remember.
It's been both, I think.
I think. I wonder if they changed Chewie just because they're like, all right, you know, we own the Star Wars thing. It feels weird. Let's not do it. Well, whatever.
It's a good name.
I was kind of iffy about the Flerkenness. I like the idea of them just being afraid of a cat. Because I've seen
up the cat.
Cats are just mean.
The only thing I can say, the only big difference I would say is that it's not a Skrull that brings it to her attention initially. It's Rocket Raccoon.
Even better. Even better. Awesome.
I think, you know, touching on the Nick Fury part of the film, I think what was really great is because it's the beginning of his story, for once, like with all the other Avengers, he like talks down to them. He's very snarky. But with Captain Marvel, he genuinely had like a we're equals vibe going on. He's like, my bad when I, you know, texted these people that I was here. My bad.
Low level Nick Fury was a delight that I did not expect. Yeah. All right. I'm good with that. Pete, do you have a favorite character from the movie that you want to...
Well, besides Carol?
Yeah.
Actually, Carol. I would say I would have to say Monica.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, she's so...
Somebody who I don't think they ever say her name.
No, they do. They do.
Once, yeah. They call her Monica.
Oh, and okay. The mom has, who's mom? Maria. The Maria. Netflix. Yeah. Yeah, Maria.
Yeah.
But she's so supportive and so, like, very excited to be part of a superhero film. Mm-hmm. So it's really charming.
I would actually... I've never liked the character.
Monica Rambeau?
Monica Rambeau. Uh-huh. I never really, like, got her character at all in the comic books. I never really felt like she had much of a characterization.
Yeah.
But they turned Monica into a character that I want to see a movie about.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, well, Monica Rambeau is in the league of the great astral powers, and they can be very boring. Actually, that's the next thing I'd like to talk about. The big, powerful... So I don't like... And maybe this is kind of hinging on the things I didn't like. I don't like the space operas. That's the reason why Guardians of the Galaxy... I didn't want to see Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't know what it would be like. But I enjoyed it because it was funny. Mm-hmm. And it became humanized. So everything in this movie that was space opera stuff, which is like the first part with Kree and all that, I was like, I'm not really invested on this. When she crashes through the blockbuster, I sat up and I'm like, this movie is now mine. This is my movie. And it's not just because I wish I was living in the 90s. Thanks for asking. But no, I think that was my major issue with the pacing on it, the parts that were in deep space. But the 90s stuff was my fave. What other references? The Radio Shack with the Game Boy being used for the trance.
No cell phones. She had to go rewire, a payphone.
Yeah.
And shout out to the moment where she was just like condescending to Nick Fury. Like, you don't understand what I'm saying, you small human. How could you not understand that I am Kree intelligence? Like,
What else was there? Any other good 90s?
On the music choices,
yeah, 100%.
I was waiting for someone to bring that up. So I almost cried when they were playing Garbage. I was like, what? Is a song that they put in movies nowadays? What year is it?
Yeah.
I was, I actually have kind of the opposite opinion.
Oh, really?
On that. I thought they were trying too hard to duplicate
Guardians?
Guardians.
Uh-oh.
With the way that music was used. And I think that the song choices were like too on the nose.
I can understand that. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I do get it.
I mean, the I'm Just a Girl fight sequence.
That one wasn't my favorite.
I love that one,
like,
yeah.
It was cool, I guess, but like kind of ham-fisted, I think.
That song has been stuck in my head since that movie.
I like their Nirvana scene better.
That's fair, yeah.
I promised. Oh my god, the fight scenes, though!
Yeah, like, the fights were really good.
Okay, so the fight scenes weren't always good. There were definitely some fights where I was like, my eyes hurt, but the moment where she got her real power, my magical girl senses unfurled, and I was like, it's here, the moment that I have been waiting for, the moment where magical girls are combined with superheroes, and I get to watch somebody on the big screen TV flow around with magical powers and beat people.
Do you call movies big screen TVs? Is that what you call a movie theater? Is that what you call a movie theater? Hold on, we're done with the podcast. Jordy, do you call movie theaters big screen TV? Awesome. That is official. Yeah, I like all the fights. I don't know why people keep telling. Maybe you know what? I'm not the smartest in terms of fights. See, Matt from Non-Pro was like, "Well, the choreography wasn't great on some of them," but then later on, I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about. Punches were cool. I like it. It was fun." Yeah, I'm all on board with
I'm on the weirdly
sequences.
Of the opposite opinion of Matt, where like while I love the Just a Girl fight scene a lot, I do feel like I had a very hard time understanding what was going on. But the first couple, like the one where she has the things on her hands,
that was
great.
Yeah,
and then
that was
And then the train fight, that was really good
that
too.
That was really fun. Yeah. Yeah. I really any excuse to beat up an old lady in a train. Sample
were
that.
Holding her back. That was so appropriate.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But it was just the weird one when she did finally get her powers. I was like, "Oh yeah, it's going to kick off now. The soundtrack's awesome." I was like, I don't know what's going on, but it looks cool.
The space battle, I wasn't thrilled
same thing,
with.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a little over the top.
Yeah, I think, you know what, the same thing with Superman.
That's a Stallone movie.
They're saying, ooh, Captain Marvel, like, you know, Superman-level powers or whatever. And I think the same is true in these stories. when your character is all powerful, it's maybe true of Thor as well, when you've got like, I'm going to win power, right? That's my thing, is I always win. You got to find a way to make them leveled off in some way, because it's really not fun to see Superman win everything all the time. It's the reason why Superman movies are always like, it's rarely ever there are other heroes or stuff going on in those movies. It's him versus a natural disaster or whatever. So like, it's the stakes change a little bit. So seeing Carol fight off all the spaceships in space, I was like, that's cool, but I have no idea how powerful these spaceships are or what's going on. I don't know why Lee Pace, whose character I'm not even going to remember, Ronan the Destroyer, why did he chicken out? He just left. I'm like, that doesn't feel like they ever address it again later on. I don't know.
That's a weird thing about that whole entire scene where he says, like, we will be back for the weapon. The woman. I'm like, dude, you die in Guardians.
Yeah, that's
like, this line means nothing.
Yeah, and that, like, you could frame this. You could change this. You could make him say something else. He'd be like, I wish I had a weapon like that. Maybe an Infinity Stone.
I'd rather deal with Thanos.
Yeah, but, like, you know, he's still chasing an Infinity Stone in that movie. Maybe that's why, because he saw it in Carol's.
Yeah, right? I want that power.
How can I get that power? I think we're stumbling upon why they didn't make the movie.
That's the best Lee Pace impression I've ever heard.
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah.
I definitely think that in terms of watching her like super ultra fight everything, this is definitely like a love letter to, this is why they're going to be able to stop Thanos. Because she has to be as powerful as she is. Otherwise, she's just not getting, she has to be like up there in the power scale, because we just saw everybody in the power scale get tipped over in Avengers Infinity War.
That's interesting.
I mean, because think about it this way, contextually. She wasn't introduced until we had already set the stage for Infinity War. And what do we have in the Avengers? We had so many people who were like basically as powerful as she was in the beginning of the movie. We have tons of characters at that power level, but we don't have many characters who are that infinitesimal, like amazing sense of power.
We arguably have two or three. Iron Man, they've ratcheted up like crazy.
And yeah, a little bit.
He puts up
a big
battle,
creep.
Right?
He has some serious power creep.
Hulk definitely should be Omega level threat, but like they took him out in a way
that's kind of. And he's got
emotional problems. Now he has emotional problems.
Well,
and they
he's
took
scared
him out.
Of being Hulk because of what happened in Thor Ragnarok.
And I'm not saying that none of the other characters in the series have that power. What I'm saying is that they had to give us another one to make sense.
And Thor, they had to excuse outright because he went from, what are you, Thor, God of Hammers, to being, no, you're Thor, God of Axes. Spend half this movie looking for another weapon. That's an argument I've had.
Yep.
Go back to listen
same
to
with,
our
same with you, yep.
To our Infinity War episode. But yeah, now you get a super powerful Captain Marvel. What I want to talk about maybe at the end of this is, do we care about that? Because I don't want to see Captain Marvel beat up, first of all, beating up Thanos, now no gauntlet, like, I don't know if that even matters. Like, what are we doing in Infinity War? Are we just beating up Thanos? I'm on board for that movie. If everybody's just like, we're going to whip him just because. But, like, unless there's
an... Let's go beat up that farmer.
Yeah, that jerk. Because are they really going to be the Avengers now? They're just like, we're taking revenge. We're the Revengers. That's what our thing is now. Because there's no, like... Unless they think somehow getting to Thanos will get them the gems, will get them to reset stuff. Like, we don't know yet. And if that's the case, I don't know if I necessarily want someone super powerful to stop this. I don't know what I want. I really have no idea how Endgame's going to work out to make it good for me.
Yeah. Slightly like predictions for Endgame, I guess. I will definitely say I hardcore don't believe Thanos is going to be the enemy in that movie. So her being powerful enough to kick his butt, which I believe she could.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, there's probably going to be some other enemy of some kind that we're going to have to fight, but I feel like we fought Thanos so much in that movie. To just have another fight with him, it feels like, come on, we've been here. Like, get him, have him beat this time. To a certain extent, we did beat him. Like, you took an axe to the chest. You're kind of done, buddy. You're limping away, and you don't look like. If we come back and he's just sitting there, like, yeah, I can't really do anything anymore because I took an axe to my chest, so I'm sort of slowly dying. Like, whatever it is, like, it could be anything.
I would like to see Carol just beat up a slowly dying man.
Thanos!
You son of a... I would love to see that.
And I feel like Thanos technically finished what he wanted to do.
Yeah,
he wanted,
his story's kind
of
over.
Yeah, he wanted to wipe out half the population of the universe. And also, aren't we kind of lucky that Captain Marvel wasn't one of the lucky few that were chosen?
Yeah.
Like, there was a 50-50 chance that you're going to die.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think that that's a little short-sighted because, again, one of their goals is to undo what he did. You don't think he would have a problem with that and be like, wait a second, you guys are going to do the thing. I'm not going to let...
I would hope that's... I hope he talks like that. Being the voice of Thanos. Is there a letter-writing campaign? In big-screen TVs. All around the world. Jordy is Thanos. Hey, someone animate that for us. Oh my God, don't. Well, we'll see, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, we're now slipping into another movie. But
we're generally talking about power creep and how I do feel like, and I'm going back to Captain Marvel, I do feel like it handles power creep rather well, which is just like, you know, we start at a certain level in the beginning of the film, and then we get to another level at the end of the film, and I feel like how she gets there is very good. All these elements, like you were saying before, about, like, you gotta repress your emotions, and eventually her tapping into them and being able to feel and, like, use all of that against the enemy is what winds up making her the Omega-level threat, as you said, put it, by the end.
Can we crap on the movie for a couple minutes?
We can.
Yeah.
What are things we dislike?
Let's go back to Jude Law's character, who had the weirdest heel turn. I liked Jude Law's character a lot in that film. I really enjoyed when Ronan the Accuser calls up and says, "Where's the planet? I'm going to go glass it over." And he's like, let's not do that. Let's not just destroy it.
The fact that he was stalling just because he wants the weapon is less satisfactory than him being a nuanced person like the Skrull leader was.
Yeah.
Who's like, you know what? I did some bad things, but I don't want to fight anymore.
I'm a true believer, you know? Like, yeah. I can be a complicated character too.
Right.
So I want to say that I disagree with the concept of that there, because if anything, I interpreted the way he was doing as he has an obsession with Carol. He, like, almost in a way views her as, like, his project, his personal thing. Like, she literally speaks to him at any given time. She's relying on him emotionally. He's manipulating her. And I feel like the narrative wasn't, oh, I just want the weapon. It was then, I want to get Carol back before she remembers because she's my project. She's mine, essentially.
Yeah,
as soon as she was no longer capable of being his project, his thing, that's when he's like, okay, come glass the planet.
Yeah. I think what this is a testament to, like, how good that play is that we both, or many of us, got pulled in by Jude Law.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's by the numbers, like, yeah, this is the mentor relationship. This is cool. Why can't this be cool? And I was like, the whole time, and I'm like, now that you say it, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I guess, you know, it's the mentor relationship until you realize he's telling her to repress herself. He's telling her that he's the way she will become good or great. He's telling, like, I'm like, yeah, that is a more interesting, unique story than the he's her Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Or if you're Last Jedi, he's her...
he's an abuser.
Mark...
Yeah, basically.
Ruffalo. That wasn't what I was going with. What brain fart just happened to me? Jedi. Why?
Mark Hamill?
Mark Hamill. I was trying to say Luke. I was trying to say Luke, and I was like, no, you mean his actor, Mark Hamill. And he was like, no, Mark, that's a different Mark. Mark Ruffalo? Mark Ruffalo in The Last Jedi. Do a cut of The Last Jedi and just put Mark Ruffalo's Hulk instead of Luke. Just do that movie and demand people watch. Just put that chip on people's shoulders.
That's my secret. I'm always angry.
No! Replace all Yodas with Hulk. Little green guy become big green guy.
Little monster!
It's like little Einstein, so better.
We're done. All right.
To bounce with what Jordy was saying, it was the whole relationship between Jude Law's character and Brie Larson as Captain Marvel is very much, hey, I'm an insecure man in my position, and I'm going to control this super strong woman and make her think she's not actually strong. So I kind of will agree with her on the fact that he had that kind of borderline abuser kind of relationship with her. So, and that's why I think he wanted to try and get to Earth and kind of put a stop to what was going on and get her back into, like, her whole brainwashed mentality, because he still wanted to use her as a weapon and use her power, but didn't want to give her full control over it, because then she's going to blast him into space.
I've come around on this, but I really do think I've come around, because the interesting thing they did was make it like he didn't twirl his mustache at all in the first half of the film, which we would have expected.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't trust him at all in the beginning.
Really?
No, I had a bad feeling.
I know, I was on board with him like from the beginning.
When he was like, repress your memories, and
as soon as he said that,
conceal, don't feel.
It's like, oh, I don't know what you're dreaming about. That's like,
right. He did pull a Anya and not Anya.
Abuse survivor.
Elsa. Definitely. Parents. Yeah.
He was definitely doing what abusers do. I've been abused in my life, and he did what every abuser I've had has done.
That's probably I'm sorry to hear that, and it's also the weirdest over track we've ever had. We're like, abuse survivor, and Pete and I are trying to remember the names of characters from Frozen. So, perfect.
But I think the reason why... I don't
remember Elsa's name.
Yeah, all right. Then, Pete was trying to remind me. I'm glad we're handling this right now, Pete.
Yeah.
We'll discuss this in the car on the way home. All right, Al.
I think the reason you and I gravitated or latched onto Jude Law's character as we did is because we don't get a lot of personality from the Kree characters besides him. We get the Grand Intelligence, who is not. I mean, as a villain, I think that was one of the minor agreeables I will have with the film. But yeah, Jude's all we got, and I don't even remember what his character name is.
Nope.
Yeah. It's like something.
It was like Ogrog or something. Yeah. I don't remember.
And what's kind of...
That goes right into my whole, like, if you're Yon-Rog. Doing space Odyssey, just make them human. But, humanized.
Yeah, but the thing about it, like, I do agree to a certain extent that I do feel that it was...
Oh, that was close.
If we're going to have nuanced Skrull, why can't the Kree, like in the comic books, be nuanced characters?
We kind of... The closest we got was Mar-Vell.
Which is a defector and doesn't really count. I was looking for someone in that group to have some semblance of either, oh, well, we just do what the intelligence tells us to do, or someone who was as much a victim of some sort of manipulation.
As much as people have been saying, like, it's cool that we got nuanced Skrulls, it is weird that we've yet to get nuanced Kree.
Yeah.
And anything except for maybe Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. maybe occasionally has some, it dips in it. So I guess
really
that's
feel like
the best
Mar-Vell
we could
get. Does count though, because that like any
I see no reason why Mar-Vell wouldn't count.
Like if you think about it this way, like what are the ways that Kree function? They're either completely brainwashed to believe in this power or they escape. So there's really it's hard to have complexity when literally this entire body is brainwashing them and telling them not to do things, and so you can't get a lot of character because they're all brainwashed.
Yeah.
I'm going to put an exception on that, cuz that same argument can and has been made for Skrull. Like Skrull, they have this deity that, and they believe in this change, and they're bad guys, and then it's just a cultural thing for them, and that's just the way they are. Like I think you can you could do a better job of doing exceptionalization. And the reason I think maybe if you're like me, Al, that you're like Mar-Vell doesn't count is because if they had done the reverse with the Skrulls, if there was one good Skrull, it would have been every other Cowboys and Indians movie with the one good Indian or whatever. It'd be like, okay, whatever. But what was interesting about this film, you know, the thing is they only have so many movies. Maybe that's it. Like,
yeah,
I think the Kree may have showed up in, I think officially two movies, maybe. Like, I think it was Guardians and then this. Like, I don't even know if they were in Guardian 2, Electric Boogaloo, which could have been the title of Guardians 2.
Really
it absolutely could have been that.
Oh, absolutely.
Why did they ruin Lee Pace's makeup? They definitely.
What happened with that?
There was black, remember?
Yeah,
in the original
yeah.
Guardians, there was black on his face, and now they just made him all blue.
Is it in mourning? Because, like, there's this weird peace Kree thing going on now?
Yeah, he probably.
He did something in Guardians where he, like, bled black for a minute.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but there was something. Yeah, it also hit me.
This was another weird thing, but, like, because there was this weird peace thing where, like, apparently now the accusers go against the Kree government, and I get it. I guess I shouldn't be so concerned with intergalactic politics,
yes.
But I read Transformers comics, so I'm
you've
sort
lost
of
all objectivity.
This is what everybody was complaining about the Star Wars prequels.
All right, fair.
Yeah, yeah.
If
anything, I'm saying that you're. Well, I'll give Al the benefit of the doubt and say I think you would care less if they cut out more of that space opera crap in the beginning.
Yeah,
it was just. So I went to see it with a person who knows nothing and about this stuff and. Guardians was okay. Her favorite Marvel movie is Ant-Man, and then I guess Ant-Man and the Wasp. And you know, like there's like some sort of like grounded organicness to it. I don't think you didn't need to give us that much Kree-ness Maybe I'm wrong. I guess people were
wanting that opening shot of the city, though. I can't lie about that.
Just a couple minutes would be fine. Crash into the Blockbuster earlier. All right. But we're in our crapping phase, and the last thing I have to say is I'm not sure about Nick Fury's eye. I feel like I'm upset about that.
I hated that. I was like, this is, I will never love it,
and I kind of hate it.
I will never take his speech in Winter Soldier, last time I trusted somebody. I can't take that seriously anymore.
No, good. You deserve this.
And I'm just sitting here, come on. Yeah. Oh, that's dumb.
I will always take it seriously from now on because that man looked at all those people and was like, Last time I trusted someone. And it's just like that's who he's become. And I think this is a great example of the kind of relationship he has with Marvel and Coulson that are different from the later Avengers. The later Avengers, he's dragging them kicking and screaming into an initiative, telling them what to do. Yeah. Meanwhile, Marvel, he actually has like a respect that is returned. In the preview at the end of the film, we saw what we're going to see in Endgame, which is her being like, where's Fury? And you can see in that one moment the intensity of her care. She has traveled the galaxy to come and find Nick Fury because they have mutual respect. And that's one of the things that is just like, yep, that's it for this movie. Mm. I love it. They're best friends. Nick needed somebody who he felt was an equal.
Right. Any other complaints before we shut this part
out?
Yeah,
I'm going to piggyback off of what Jordy says about that preview, which I loved. But, and this is probably an unpopular opinion on the film, actually.
That was earlier.
I enjoyed a lot of this film, and I enjoyed it. And I did like Brie Larson. I want to be honest about this. I did like her. But watching that preview and her deliver that line, I felt like had way more emotion and performance than most of that movie. Mm. And I know this is a complaint that a lot of people have had. And some of it is very unfounded, but it's a grievance I've had since I was watching the trailers, which is, man, especially concerning it was so much about emotion and letting go of those emotions and having them, that I felt that a lot of the time what Brie performed it as stoicism or was directed to do so, when I would have preferred, like, give me more, throw something more out there, because in the comic books, she's a hothead. And I did, and not to say that she needed to have anger issues in the film, she doesn't. We have Hulk for that, I get it. But I would have liked more of that in this movie.
Her snark scenes were very fun.
Yeah, and I like those. I want to keep them. I don't want to lose them.
Mm.
But like something about like I wanted more punch to that. Like when she knocks down Jude Law and like I don't have to prove anything to you. It's like that's a great scene, man. I wish you delivered it like with anything.
Mm, I like that. I think her delivery there was good, but I don't know. I think it's hard. Well, first of all, it's always going to be hard because it's subjective, but also because you're spending part of the film as an emotionally controlled person.
Yeah, you're trying to pull your emotions down or push your emotions down.
I don't know about you, Michelle, but for me as a woman, I found that any time that I deliver like a concise statement that feels good to me and I say it in even the slightest bit angry, I just get called crazy. So for me, that moment where she's like, I don't need to prove anything to you, I was just like, that's it. She doesn't care. She's so stoic. And because that is literally, like, the whole film, you see people telling her she's not going to be capable of doing things for whatever reason. She's not good enough. She's not strong enough. She's a woman. She, you know, like, she doesn't fit in here or there. Whatever reasons you want to call it, she responds with stoicism because that's kind of how we're trained to react if we don't want to be seen as crazy or overbearing or just in general awful. And it was just a satisfying moment for me to go, yeah, you don't give him an inch of emotion because you don't need to prove anything to him.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that. And I wanted to comment on what Al is saying, in which I think correct me if I'm wrong, you were saying she didn't show a lot of emotion throughout the movie, but then showed a lot in the last line that she said in the teaser trailer.
Yeah, which I thought was really good.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good, too. And I could support the idea that maybe now that she has more lived experience, it's, what, 20 years later?
Yeah.
Maybe now she's finally coming into her character a little bit more, and that could be why she's like has emotion
and I'm definitely looking forward to her performance there, because maybe it'll be more of what I'm looking for. And while I definitely agree with a lot of the points brought up, it still felt or rang false oddly to me, which doesn't mean I'm right. It just means, you know,
so because I could kind of see her like she definitely was more emotional in that line. But that could have just been, she was brainwashed by the Kree. She didn't really know what was going on. Mm-hmm. She fell through a Blockbuster and was like, what are these things? Most of...
We all know what emotion you experience when you fall through a Blockbuster. It's elation.
That's how I feel.
As long as we're talking about emotions, I was surprised when, at that moment where she, Admiral Holdo's.
Yes, let's do that again.
When she, Admiral Holdo's, that one Kree ship.
Yeah.
You know, without a spaceship. I was surprised that lacked the emotional punch for me that I got in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, that space battle felt like you were fighting Muddies from
Power Rangers,
where it was just like, things might be dying, but they might as well all be droids or something. Like, it doesn't, I don't know what's going on. I also don't know whether I should ever care about Kree. Yeah. It was a little if.
Yeah.
Costume was cool, though. The costume change, I like the way they got, like, hit on all the different Captain Marvel looks throughout. Yes. I thought that was pretty cool. So my feelings about emotion in this film, because it kind of haunts the movie, is that I'm very upset that we have to talk about it. Because clearly there was a weird movement beforehand about this, of that, like, you know, if she only smiled more, it would be a more interesting character. Right? That's just a big thing in this, in the criticism of this movie. And I felt like I kept watching it going, are you emoting correctly? And I'm like, why am I even preloaded with this stuff? Because it was because of the crap that happened before, and it really bothers me to this point when I'm thinking, I'm like, I can't think of moments where Captain America, while he's being Captain America, is doing a lot of different kinds of emoting.
He has no emotions ever.
I don't think he's ever like, I'm gonna be funny.
He was like, he's been like confused and like strong. Those are his two things.
Spider-Man does when he's beating up people.
Yeah.
Hulk is always angry. Fine. Maybe Thor occasionally will laugh if he's fighting Hulk, but like Captain America doesn't. I don't. Maybe Iron Man is snarky.
I don't even think
Iron Man
has that much.
Like this emotionless mask while he's fighting.
Yeah, I just
he literally can't even see his face. Well,
no, but you've got that HUD screen, the heads up display thing. But like, literally, the other military person fighting acts like a military person fighting for the most part. So like, I'm looking at this movie and I'm like, why am I being preloaded with all this garbage? And it's
because read too many articles about it.
Well, no, basically, but it's the fact that those articles exist. So the reason why is patriarchy. So there we go.
I purposely avoided any.
I tried.
Any reviews or like expectations.
It was insane.
Yeah, it was.
Facebook would put up like, here's an ad for Captain Marvel, which was just like a thing that Facebook would do, and I was like, comments, and they were all angry comments. Yep.
Did you enjoy the scene where wherever she was walking, she's still in her like space suit and everything, and some guy's like, oh honey, you should smile, and then she steals his motorcycle.
That it was great.
I was so concerned.
I love that Nick Fury was considered a human male of no threat. These are all good.
I do want to say I've been really, like, really, really nice, so I do want to actually lay on actual criticism. There were definitely moments in the movie where I was like, okay, I'm bored. All right, are we going to get to the parts that I want to see? It was the humor, Nick Fury, and just the moment where she finally just was like, I don't need you. I'm obviously going to take this obviously placed here thing on the back of my neck off and actually fight like I can. That really redeemed the movie a lot for me. And also, like any Marvel film, I have to think about it in the context of the entire Marvel universe. And when I think about it in that context, that's when I'm like, yeah, I can be way more forgiving than I would be if this was a standalone film.
All right, so we did that. We talked about the things we don't like. I think we need to talk about our favorite moments in the film. Who wants to go first? Anybody have a favorite moment they want to share?
Okay, I thought of mine.
Okay.
Actually, one of the more touching moments of the film with Maria and Carol, when Carol came back.
Oh, God, yes.
That, I actually almost teared up during this part where Maria was like, look, I'm not mad that you got hurt or whatever, but like, you got to understand that you coming in here, it's like I lost my best friend 6 years ago, and now you're coming in here and you got glowy hands.
Glowy hands. Yeah. Jazz fingers.
That was very touching. That was good. I feel like that was one of the hallmark moments of the reunion.
And there's a great follow-up scene where I thought you were the most powerful person before you could shoot fire out of your fingertips, which cool. She holds my like, that's no, that hit me in my like, that was like,
your feels.
Yeah.
Right in your feels.
I was touching my heart, and I
That's where your feels
obviously
are.
Obviously, the heart is there. Never mind.
Technically, your feels are in your brain.
Jordy can explain to everyone that you're touching your heart and then narrating.
Not everybody keeps their feels in the same place, Adam.
Okay, you got a good point.
Anybody else got one?
I do.
All right.
The Stan Lee cameo.
Oh, that was so cute.
That was cool.
That was amazing.
That's where I keep my feels. The Stan Lee cameo.
And where he's reading the Mallrats script?
Yeah. And rehearsing lines. Like, he's on his way to go film that.
Yeah. Although it has crazy implications for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because in that scene from Mallrats, he's talking about all the things he's written in the Marvel Universe. So,
yeah.
Maybe he's just like a nonfiction writer in this world.
Or maybe he's a watcher trying to make a buck.
Oh, hey, here's the thing. I'm just putting this out there. What if they had de-aged Stan Lee for that? So they made him to the point where he was like at the scene. You know, he had a lot of black in his mustache.
He did.
In Mallrats.
Yeah.
I think that would have been cute. I think that would have been fun.
Yeah, but I think we also wanted to see Stan as
Don't
Stan.
Don't tell me what I want.
Don't tell me what I want. I also did like the Stan Lee montage at the beginning.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was very cute.
I don't know if anybody saw Kevin Smith's reaction.
I did.
To that on Twitter.
Oh, he was
talking about how he was blubbering like a little baby.
Oh.
He couldn't believe after all these years of making movies where he's referencing Marvel characters that now Marvel's referencing him.
That's beautiful. Oh my god, I'm going
like,
to start crying.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Oh my gosh, watching her do all of her superpowered things though, like, oh, I wish she had a magical girl transformation. I just love.
She kind of did. If you slow down when
she
transitioned
to change her colors.
When her hair was literally floating above her in this thing, I was like, "Oh my god, it's here. It's a magical girl moment." Like, I'm just a 5-year-old, okay? All I want to do is see pretty ladies with giant flowing magical hair beat people up. That's it.
How about when the helmet goes down and it's kind of the mohawk and it little singes off and it's a transformation scene. I liked that. I liked the hair out more.
That's more typically magical girl. And honestly, just like, oh, the emotional scenes are just like, oh, I died. But it was really that moment where the power fantasy comes alive. And I was like, having Vietnam flashbacks to Sisters of Battle and Warhammer 40,000. Like, those were the moments where I was like, it's here, this moment that I've waited.
I'm pretty sure Jordy just said she had Vietnam War flashbacks to Warhammer, which is a whole nother expanded universe of her background. Did she live? Did she fight Vietnam? Which Vietnam War? Was it the one that we all know? And were you playing Warhammer then? We'll find out in a Patreon exclusive at some point in the future. Anybody else have a lovely scene? I got my favorite. My absolute favorite, and I'm pretty sure everybody's going to join me on this one. It's all the baby carols standing back up.
Yeah.
Yes!
I love that. I loved it in the trailer when they hinted at it. I love the symbolism of it. I really enjoyed it. And I actually think the girl who plays Carol the most, because I think there's two different girls who play Carol in those flashbacks. The one who plays her the most, one with the baseball bat, the one at the race, the go-kart thing, was like, I would watch a movie of young Carol sticking it to people. Just being like, I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to beat the hell out of everyone. I love it.
Yeah, it's just, I don't care who you are. You can't, I feel like you can't watch that and not feel like I can do anything.
It's a very human, empowering movie.
I don't
movie.
Understand why there is backlash against it.
Because nobody wants us to have nice things.
I guess that's probably the one. Trolls.
Yeah. All right, so do we recommend this movie? I'll go first, and then let's do it clockwise. That might be counterclockwise. You needed to know that, podcast listeners. I thought it was a strong movie. I enjoy it. I liked it a lot. I had some issues with it.
Yeah.
Not as many as I thought. I thought it would be like, you know, oh God, is this going to be just a trailer for Endgame? Is this just going to be a commercial for the military? None of those things happened. Solid movie. I enjoyed it. Go watch it. Yeah.
I think it's in the top half of the Marvel films.
Really?
I definitely feel that way. I certainly enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Ant-Man and the Wasp, and like I'm not the crap on that film. I'm just saying, like, out of the recent films from Marvel,
you heard it here first. Al does not like Ant-Man and the Wasp. Hates the Wasp. Janet Van Dyne hates him.
4.5 popcorn buckets out of 5.
That's a lot of popcorn buckets. Are you pro popcorn?
Huh?
Are you pro popcorn, or is this like
popcorn? Is a positive thing. On
okay, good. So
scale,
yeah,
which
nice.
I just invented. I feel like we needed to do something.
We probably do need to quantify things.
Yeah, don't listen to the haters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's.
Not listen to Al, who wants Carol to smile more and also wants Ant-Man to divorce the Wasp. You heard it here first.
Well, all right then.
Let's cut your mic. So sorry.
It's okay.
We're going to watch it.
I don't have anything else to say.
Good. All right. Next review.
I'll give it 9 out of 10 pretzel bites, but no cheese sauce.
We're not doing food. It's 9 out of 10.
Wait. Is that the old AMC pretzel bites or the new gourmet pizza?
Hold on. We're not getting any underwriting for this. Jordy, control them.
Guys, don't make me scream more about magical girls.
Yeah, don't really say guys. Don't. That's sexist.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, I'm a lady.
Sorry, ladies.
All right, good. And review.
What, am I supposed to take that as an insult?
No.
Don't toss ladies out like it's an insult. Like I'm supposed to take offense.
Folks, everyone calm down.
You heard it here first. Al thinks women are things. Go on.
Okay. So, no, I mean, definitely the movie is good. Obviously, you know, temper your expectations. You're not going in for a standalone film, and you should never look at it as one. Definitely the fact that you care about Nick Fury and Coulson and the entire universe plays a contributing factor. But I think if you were to just erase the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe and make this the first one, you'd definitely still care about the characters and be interested.
Yeah, I think it would work. It would technically work, although a couple of things, maybe like the after credit stuff would be like, what? What's the matter?
I would still like that in the second one. Second after credits.
Yeah. The goose. Sounds good, goose. All right, Al, do you want to say something? I feel bad because I just crapped on you for the last few seconds. You did not say any of those things. Me saying it doesn't mean it's true.
Good night, everybody.
No, I'm going to have to leave it in because you were beat up at the last few minutes. You get one good night a month and that's it.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.